The early evening light of Turin cast a soft glow on the cobblestone streets, as Claudio hurried to the station, his heart pounding with both excitement and a touch of anxiety. A leather satchel swung from his shoulder, filled with a few clothes, a notebook, and a paperback novel that had seen better days. He was about to board a night train to Paris, a journey that would take him away from the warm embrace of his small Italian city for an entire month. The air had the aroma of espresso and fresh pastries wafting from nearby cafes, a comforting scent that seemed to whisper sweet nothings of home into his ear as he stepped into the bustling station. The train pulled away from the platform with a lurch, and Claudio found himself in a compartment with three seats on either side, the aisle leading to the window and the sliding door that separated them from the rest of the world. He took a deep breath, the scent of leather and the faint hint of diesel fumes mixing with the lingering taste of Loretta's kiss on his lips. He couldn't help but let out a contented sigh as he leaned his head against the cool glass, watching the scenery blur past as the city gave way to the countryside. With a jolt, the train picked up speed, the rhythmic clacking of the wheels against the tracks lulling him into a sense of comfort. The memory of Loretta's naked form, her soft curves and the gentle slope of her neck, danced through his mind. It had been an afternoon of firsts, of tentative touches that grew bolder with each passing moment. He had seen her fully, had felt her heart racing against his palm, had tasted the sweetness of her skin. It was an intimacy that both thrilled and terrified him, a secret shared between them that seemed to pulse through his veins with every beat of his heart. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting the compartment in a warm, amber light, Claudio felt the weight of his decision to ask Loretta to show herself to him. He had hoped it would be enough to carry him through the weeks ahead, a visual memory to warm the cold, lonely nights in his mother's small Parisian apartment. Yet, as he watched the Italian landscape unfold before him, he couldn't help but feel a pang of longing for the girl he had left behind. The anticipation of their reunion grew with every mile that stretched between them, filling him with a strange mix of excitement and dread. What would she think of him now? Would their relationship evolve into something more profound, or had he pushed her too far too soon? The conductor's voice echoed through the corridor, announcing the next stop, and the gentle sway of the train began to lull Claudio into a restless sleep. The images of Loretta remained etched in his mind, a silent film reel playing out their intimate moments. Her eyes, filled with a mix of love and vulnerability, searched his own, silently asking if this was the right choice. He hoped it was, because now, as the darkness of night enveloped the train, all he had was the memory of her touch, her whispers, and the promise of a future together that seemed as vast and unpredictable as the journey he was about to undertake. The clack of the train grew softer, the compartment grew quieter, and the weight of the impending month in Paris grew heavier. Yet, nestled in the cocoon of his thoughts, Claudio felt a flicker of something warm and reassuring. It was the unspoken promise that no matter how far apart they were, their connection was as unshakable as the very tracks that carried him away from her. As the train rolled into the night, the blue glow from the compartment lights washed over the seats. The soft murmur of passengers settling into their bunks for the night became a lullaby, and Claudio felt the weariness of the day begin to claim him. He laid down, the leather of the seat cool and firm beneath him, and allowed the gentle rocking of the carriage to ease him into sleep. It was a fitful slumber, filled with vivid dreams of Loretta and the passionate afternoon they had shared. The train's rhythmic motion was interrupted by a sudden jolt as it pulled to a halt at the French border. The lights flickered as the locomotive was replaced, and the murmur of voices grew louder outside the compartment door. It swung open, and a classy, elegant woman in her 30s stepped in, her heels clicking against the floor as she surveyed the space. She spotted the open seat opposite Claudio and, with a nod of silent consent, she took her place. Her eyes met his briefly, a knowing smile playing on her lips before she opened her book and switched on her reading light, immersing herself in the words on the page. Claudio studied her from the corner of his eye, taking in her chic attire and the way she carried herself with an air of confidence that seemed so at odds with the quiet, almost shy, demeanor of Loretta. The woman's eyes flicked up from her book, catching him in his appraisal, and she offered a warm smile that made him feel both welcome and a little embarrassed. He quickly averted his gaze, focusing instead on the darkness outside the window. The train lurched back to life, the new locomotive's engines straining as it gathered speed once more. The woman opposite him remained engrossed in her book, the soft rustle of pages and the occasional sigh the only sounds in the compartment. Despite his tiredness, Claudio found it difficult to fall asleep with her presence so close. He felt a strange mix of curiosity and desire, his mind wandering back to the images of Loretta that had occupied it just moments before. The woman's perfume, a heady scent of jasmine and sandalwood, filled the space around them, a stark contrast to the faint scent of Loretta's lavender soap. The train sped through the night, a cocoon of steel and light amidst the vast, unknowable darkness of the countryside. The hours ticked by, the train's steady rhythm acting as a metronome to the quiet symphony of their shared space. The woman's eyes grew heavy with sleep, and she too eventually closed her book, placing it on the seat beside her. The soft glow of her reading light cast shadows across her face, highlighting the curve of her cheekbones and the line of her neck. Claudio felt a strange sense of peace wash over him, a calm that seemed to come from the very core of the universe itself. With a deep breath, he closed his eyes, willing his racing thoughts to still. The scents of leather, diesel, and the woman's perfume melded together into a strange yet comforting bouquet that seemed to represent the journey ahead. The gentle rocking of the train became the heartbeat of the night, a steady pulse that promised a new day and the continuation of their stories. As the train plunged into the depths of the French countryside, Claudio's mind finally succumbed to the siren's call of slumber, leaving him to the mercy of his dreams and the whispers of the future that lay just beyond the horizon. Suddenly, a hand, soft and warm, touched his thigh. Being summertime, Claudio was traveling wearing a pair of shorts, leaving his athletic legs bare. It was the lightest of touches, a mere feather brushing against his skin. His eyes snapped open, his heart racing. For a moment, he thought it was Loretta, that she had somehow followed him onto the train, a ghostly apparition come to comfort him in his solitude. But as the hand grew bolder, sliding up his leg, he realized it was not a figment of his imagination. The woman across from him had removed her shoes, she was now kneeling on the carpet-covered floor. Her hand was now continuing caressing his leg. The shock of her touch was like a bolt of lightning, jolting him from his half-dream state. He held his breath, unsure of what to do. The woman's eyes remained fixed on his, a small smile playing on her lips as if she knew the effect she was having on him. The hand on his thigh grew more insistent, her hand moving higher, her fingers grazing the sensitive skin above his knee. Claudio's thoughts raced. This was not what he had expected, not what he had wanted. But there was something undeniably tantalizing about the situation, a thrill that was as much fear as it was desire. He set his eyes locking with hers. She did not flinch, did not retreat, but rather held his gaze with an intensity that seemed to burn through the fabric of the night. For a moment, the world outside the compartment ceased to exist, and there was only the two of them, connected by a silent understanding that transcended the barriers of propriety. He felt a strange mix of emotions, anger, confusion, excitement, and a hint of something darker, something primal. The hand on his leg grew still, and the woman's smile grew wider, as if she had read his thoughts. She leaned in closer, her breath hot against his ear. "Do you want me to stop?" she whispered, her voice a seductive purr that seemed to resonate in his very bones. Claudio swallowed hard, his eyes darting to the compartment door. He knew what was expected of him, what Loretta would expect of him. But the allure of the unknown, the thrill of the forbidden, was too potent to resist. He took a deep breath, his mind racing with the possibilities of what lay ahead. "No," he murmured, his voice barely above a whisper. "Don't stop." With those words, he had crossed a line, stepping into a realm of temptation that he had never before dared to explore. The woman's smile grew, and she leaned back into her seat, her foot retreating. "Good," she said, her voice low and sultry. "We have a long journey ahead of us, and I find that these quiet moments are best spent exploring." The train rumbled on into the night, the sound of its wheels on the track a relentless reminder of the distance between him and Loretta. Yet, as the woman's hand found its way to his again, Claudio could not help but feel that his journey was just beginning. The weight of his decision to indulge in this newfound temptation grew heavier with every passing second, but the excitement of the unknown was a siren's call that grew louder than his guilt. And as the lights of the next station grew brighter in the distance, he knew that he was not yet ready to turn back, that the allure of the stranger in the night was too strong to resist. The woman's command was given with a low sultry voice that seemed to resonate through his very core. "Lay down and close your eyes," she instructed, her words a gentle caress that sent a shiver down his spine. Claudio hesitated for a brief moment, the weight of his decision heavy upon him, but the allure was undeniable. He obeyed, laying back on the seat and allowing her to unbuckle his belt. The sound of the leather being unfastened was like the opening of a Pandora's box, releasing the pent-up tension that had been building inside him since they had boarded the train. Her hands, gentle yet firm, moved to the button of his shorts. She took her time, savoring the anticipation, her eyes never leaving his. As the fabric parted and his erection sprang free, the cool air of the compartment washed over him, a stark contrast to the heat that burned within. She reached out, her fingertips lightly grazing the sensitive skin of his shaft, sending a jolt of pleasure through his body. The gentle touch grew bolder as she took him in her hand, stroking him with a skill that spoke of experience and a knowingness that seemed to see into the very soul of his desires. As the train rumbled on, The darkness of the compartment was pierced only by the dim light of the night outside and the soft glow of the reading lamp above her. Her face was a mask of shadow and light, a vision of temptation that both thrilled and haunted him. He felt his body responding to her touch, his hips rising to meet her strokes. The scent of her perfume filled his nostrils, mingling with the musky scent of arousal that now filled the small space. Claudio's eyes remained closed, his breathing shallow and quick. The sensations were overwhelming, a symphony of pleasure that seemed to drown out the clack of the wheels and the murmur of the passengers in the corridor. He knew that every second brought him closer to a betrayal that could shatter his heart, but the siren's call was too strong to resist. His mind was a tumult of thoughts, a whirlwind of passion and guilt, as the woman's hand continued its sweet torment. Yet, as the tension grew, so too did his resolve to see this through, to experience this fleeting connection and perhaps find a part of himself that had been hidden beneath the surface of his innocence. The train's journey mirrored the tumultuous journey of Claudio's heart, each passing mile a testament to the distance he was willing to travel from the safety of his love for Loretta. He knew that when the sun rose over Paris, he would be forever changed, that his month-long sojourn would not be just a visit to his mother but a voyage into the depths of his own soul. And as the woman's touch brought him to the brink, he surrendered himself to the moment, letting go of his fears and inhibitions. Her hand was replaced by the soft, wet warmth of her mouth, and Claudio's world narrowed to the sensation of her lips around him. It was his first time experiencing fellatio, a sensation that was as exhilarating as it was terrifying. He gripped the leather upholstery, his knuckles white with the effort of holding back. The woman's eyes never left his, as if she could see the storm raging within him, as if she reveled in the power she wielded over him. Her tongue danced against the sensitive skin, her movements rhythmic and precise, drawing him closer and closer to the edge. The sound of the train's wheels grew louder in his ears, the clack-clack of the tracks a metronome to his building climax. He could feel the tension coiling within him, tightening like a spring about to snap. The woman's hand was now on his chest, her nails digging in just enough to remind him that she was real, that this was happening. And then, with a final, deep plunge of her mouth, the world shattered into a million pieces of pleasure. He bit back a cry, his hips bucking upwards as he reached his peak, the warmth of his release filling her mouth. The woman withdrew, a knowing smile playing on her lips. She wiped her mouth with a delicate handkerchief, the fabric a stark white against the darkness of her dress. "Welcome to France," she murmured, her voice a purr that seemed to resonate in the very air around them. Claudio lay there, panting, his mind racing with the implications of what had just occurred. The guilt was a cold slap, bringing him back to reality with a jolt. He knew that he had crossed a line, that there was no going back. But as the train sped through the night, he couldn't help but feel that he had also just taken the first step into a new world, one filled with the allure of the forbidden and the sweet, sweet taste of temptation. As the train pulled into the bustling Gare de Lyon station, Claudio awoke with a start. The light was different, brighter, and the sounds of the station filled his ears, the cries of porters, the hiss of steam engines, and the murmur of the early morning crowd. He sat up, his heart racing, and looked around the compartment. The woman was gone, her seat now empty, the handkerchief with her lipstick stain resting in his pocket like a silent sentinel of his indiscretion. Disoriented, he checked his watch, the hands pointing to a time that seemed both too early and too late. He had fallen asleep, and now the reality of his situation washed over him like a cold shower. Had it all been a dream? The scent of her perfume still lingered in the air, and the warmth of her touch was imprinted on his skin. It had felt so real, so tangible. He reached into his pocket, his hand closing around the handkerchief. It was real, the fabric a tactile proof of his transgression. He felt a pang of guilt, his thoughts immediately drifting to Lauretta and the promise he had made to her. Yet, there was also a strange thrill, a sense of excitement that he couldn't quite quash. He had done something wild and reckless, something that went against everything he knew he should be feeling. As he gathered his things, the train coming to a complete stop, Claudio felt the weight of his decision pressing down on him. He knew that he had to tell Lauretta, that he couldn't bear the burden of his secret alone. The month ahead in Paris suddenly felt less like a vacation and more like a trial, a test of his love and his integrity. He stepped out onto the platform, the cool morning air a stark contrast to the stifling heat of the compartment, and took a deep breath, filling his lungs with the scent of a new city. With a heavy heart, he made his way through the crowded station, the handkerchief a silent reminder of his actions. He knew that he would have to find a way to balance his love for Lauretta with the desires that now burned within him, a fire that had been stoked by the mysterious woman on the train. As he disappeared into the throng of travelers, the city of Paris spread out before him, a tapestry of lights and shadows that seemed to hold secrets of its own. The story of Claudio's journey had taken an unexpected turn, one that would challenge him in ways he had never before imagined, and one that would forever alter the course of his life. The small apartment, nestled in the vibrant heart of Paris, was a stark reminder of the life his mother had built for herself since their last meeting. The walls were adorned with art that spoke of her sophisticated tastes, and the scent of her favorite French perfume lingered in the air. It was a cozy space, filled with the comfort of familiarity yet tinged with the excitement of the unknown. As he settled into the guest bedroom, the echoes of his mother's stories about her career in the defense industry played in his mind. Her tall, athletic frame and sharp wit had served her well, allowing her to navigate the male-dominated world with ease. The first few days in Paris were a whirlwind of reacquainting himself with his mother's routines and her circle of friends. She was a force to be reckoned with, her passion for her work as a lawyer in the defense sector evident in the way she spoke and carried herself. Her openness about her lesbian lifestyle was refreshing, yet it also highlighted the stark contrast between the liberal French culture and the more conservative values he had grown accustomed to in Turin with his father. Despite their differences, the bond between them was unshakable, a testament to the love that had brought them together in the first place. During the evenings, Claudio found himself lost in his thoughts, his mother's stories of her summer romance with his father playing like a bittersweet melody in his mind. The Italian journalist had captured her heart in a way that no one else ever had, leaving an indelible mark on both their lives. Her eyes would light up when she spoke of him, a softness that made him miss the man he had grown up with. Their connection, though distant, remained a vital thread that bound him to his roots. In the quiet moments between the hustle of the city and the warm embrace of his mother's home, Claudio wrote to Loretta. Each letter was a confession, a declaration of love and a plea for understanding. He poured out his heart, detailing his struggles with temptation and his unyielding devotion to her. The words flowed from his pen, ink staining the pages with the intensity of his emotions. Yet, the encounter on the train remained unspoken, a secret that clawed at his conscience with every stroke of the pen. He longed to share the burden, but fear held his tongue. Instead, he painted a picture of a Paris that was both enchanting and a prison of his own making. As the days stretched into weeks, the guilt of his actions grew heavier. Each time he saw his mother's proud smile or felt the warmth of her embrace, he was reminded of the promise he had made to Loretta. The distance between them was not just geographical, it was a chasm that grew wider with every unspoken word. The handkerchief remained in his pocket, a silent specter of his indiscretion. The city outside the apartment beckoned with its allure of lights and sounds, of new beginnings and hidden desires. Yet, every step he took felt like a betrayal. Each boulevard he strolled down, each cafe he visited, whispered the woman's name from the train. She was everywhere and nowhere, a ghost that haunted his thoughts and fueled his longing. The tension between his love for Loretta and the siren call of his newfound desires was a tightrope he walked with trembling feet. One evening, as he sat in a quiet corner of a dimly lit cafe, watching the Parisians go by, his mother found him lost in thought. She took a seat across from him, her eyes filled with a knowing sadness that pierced through his faked. "What troubles you, my love?" she asked, her French accent wrapping around the Italian words like a soft embrace. He hesitated, the words sticking in his throat, but she waited patiently, her hand reaching out to cover his. For the first time, Claudio considered confiding in her, sharing the burden that had been eating away at him. But as he opened his mouth to speak, the words remained trapped, caught in the web of his own guilt. Instead, he spoke of his excitement for the city, of the art and culture that lay before him, and the joy of their reunion. She listened, her gaze never wavering, and offered a gentle smile that seemed to understand more than he could say. It was in that moment that he realized that perhaps the month in Paris was not just a test of his love for Loretta, but a chance to understand the complex tapestry of his own heart. One evening, as they shared a bottle of wine, the walls of the apartment feeling particularly oppressive, Claudio took a deep breath and recounted his experience on the train to his mother. She listened intently, her eyes never leaving his face as he described the woman's sultry voice and the way her touch had made him feel alive in a way he never had before. The words spilled out of him, a confession that had been festering for too long. As he spoke, the weight of his guilt grew lighter, his voice trembling with each detail he shared. His mother's expression remained calm, a mask of understanding that offered no judgment. When he finished, she took a sip of her wine, the silence stretching between them like the very fabric of time. Finally, she spoke, her voice gentle but firm. "My dear Claudio, you have not betrayed Loretta," she said, placing her hand on his. "You had a physical reaction, an act of biology, not of the heart. There is nothing wrong with that." Her words were a balm to his soul, but the sting of his secret remained. "You must tell her, but not now," she continued. When you return to Turin, when you are both together again, that is when you must speak. Secrets have a way of festering, of becoming something more than what they are. But for now, enjoy your time here. Learn from this experience, let it be a part of who you are becoming. Her advice lingered in the air, a beacon of clarity in the fog of his guilt. He knew that she was right. He had to find a way to reconcile the person he was with the person he wanted to be for Loretta. The woman on the train was a moment of passion, a fleeting encounter that had left its mark, but it was not love. The next few weeks passed in a blur of museums, art galleries, and long walks along the banks of the Seine. Claudio threw himself into the city, eager to absorb its culture and distract himself from his tumultuous thoughts. Yet, the handkerchief remained a constant reminder, a silent companion that whispered of the night he had shared with a stranger. As the days grew shorter and the air grew cooler, he found himself looking forward to his return home. To the familiarity of Turin, to the warmth of Loretta's embrace, and to the truth that he would finally have to face. The anticipation of their reunion grew stronger with each passing day, the need to confess burning brighter than the lights of the Eiffel Tower. But before he could board the train back to Italy, his mother had one more surprise for him. "I have a special evening planned," she said, a mischievous twinkle in her eye. "You're going to meet someone very important to me." His curiosity piqued, he agreed, unsure of what lay ahead. The restaurant she took him to was small and romantic, tucked away in a discreet alleyway that seemed to pulse with the heartbeat of the city. The air was thick with the scent of garlic and candle wax, and the dim lighting cast shadows that danced across the walls. It was there that he met Jasmine, a statuesque woman with skin the color of midnight and a laugh that could light up the darkest corner. She towered over him, almost 6 feet tall, but her tenderness and sense of humor were as disarming as they were surprising. Jasmine is the mother's lover, just back from a business trip to the USA. Her presence was magnetic, drawing everyone in the room to her like a moth to a flame. And yet, there was something about her that was incredibly comforting. As they talked and laughed, the tension in Claudio's chest loosened, the guilt that had been his constant companion on this journey slipping away like the night outside. The evening was a whirlwind of stories and laughter, of shared experiences and quiet moments of understanding. Jasmine spoke of her travels, her deep love for his mother, and the joy she found in the small moments of life. Her passion for life was contagious, and Claudio felt himself falling under her spell, the shadow of the woman on the train fading with each sip of wine. They all go home to the mother apartment, and during the night Claudio hears distinctly her mother and her lover's lovemaking. He is not bothered by it, on the opposite he understands now how pleasant and important is the sexual sharing between lovers. The next day, the conversation turns to relationships, and Claudio's mother, perhaps sensing his turmoil, shares her own experiences with love and temptation. She speaks candidly about her journey to acceptance, the struggles she faced in a time when such relationships were less accepted, and the joy she found in being true to herself. Her words resonate with him, offering a perspective he had never considered before. The story could then explore Claudio's growing acceptance of his own desires and the complexity of love and sexuality. He might encounter other characters in Paris that challenge his preconceived notions and help him navigate his feelings. One evening, as they sat in the cozy living room, Jasmine took him aside, her dark eyes piercing through his own. "Your mother tells me you've been carrying a heavy burden," she said, her voice as smooth as velvet. "Sometimes, love requires us to be brave, to face our fears and embrace who we truly are." Her words struck a chord, and for the first time, Claudio felt a spark of hope. Perhaps this month in Paris was not just about temptation and guilt but about understanding and growth. As the three of them sat together, sharing stories and laughter, he realized that the love between his mother and Jasmine was not just a reflection of their sexuality but a testament to the power of love itself. The night grew late, and the candles flickered low. His mother and Jasmine retreated to the bedroom, leaving Claudio with his thoughts. The sounds of their lovemaking filled the apartment, a symphony of passion that was both foreign and strangely comforting. It was in this cocoon of acceptance that he found the courage to finally face his own truth. The next day, as he strolled along the banks of the Seine, watching the lovers that dotted the landscape, he took out the handkerchief. He held it up to the light, the crimson stain a stark reminder of his actions. With trembling hands, he brought it to his nose, inhaling the faint scent of her perfume. It was time to let go of the guilt, to embrace the newfound freedom that Paris had offered him. One Friday afternoon, Corinne, Claudio's mother, arrived home earlier than usual, asking Claudio to prepare a light bag because they have been invited to spend the weekend at Jasmine's holiday villa on Normandy coast. Claudio will have a steaming encounter with Jasmine's 19 years old sister. The journey to the villa was filled with laughter and shared stories, the three of them bonding in a way Claudio had never experienced before. The villa itself was a picturesque retreat, surrounded by lush gardens and the salty kiss of the ocean air. It was there that he met Clara, Jasmine's younger sister. She was a vision of youth and beauty, her skin a rich caramel hue that contrasted with her sister's midnight complexion. Her eyes sparkled with mischief, and her laughter was infectious. Over the weekend, Clara flirted shamelessly with him, her teasing glances and playful touches igniting a fire within him that he had thought was extinguished. Despite his earlier resolve, he found himself drawn to her, the chemistry between them undeniable. As they danced under the moonlit sky, their bodies swaying to the rhythm of the crashing waves, he knew that he would not be able to resist much longer. In the heat of the moment, Clara led him to a secluded spot in the garden. The scent of blooming roses mingled with the briny air as she pressed him against the stone wall, her kisses as fierce as the sea. She taught him things he had never known, her hands guiding him with a confidence that left him breathless. It was an education in passion, a lesson in the art of pleasing a woman that left him reeling. As they lay tangled together, the cool breeze whispering secrets through the leaves, Clara took his hand and placed it on her bare skin, silently urging him to explore. He hesitated, his mind racing with thoughts of Loretta, but she whispered reassurances in his ear, her breath hot against his neck. "This is for you," she murmured, her voice a siren's call that he could not resist. The door to Clara's bedroom creaked open, the soft light spilling onto the darkened hallway. She pulled him inside, her eyes never leaving his, and closed the door with a gentle click that echoed through his soul. The room was a sanctuary of velvets and satins, a testament to the decadence of the French countryside. The scent of her perfume filled the air, a sweet and seductive aroma that made his head spin. Her dress fell away, revealing her body inch by inch, a masterpiece of feminine curves and soft skin. She stepped out of the garment, her eyes locked on his, and took his hand, placing it on the zipper at the back of her dress. "Take your time," she whispered, her breath hitching with anticipation. "Undress me." He felt the warmth of her body through the fabric as he slowly lowered the zipper, his heart pounding like a drum in his chest. The dress pooled at her feet, leaving her in nothing but her lacy undergarments. She stepped out of them with a grace that seemed almost otherworldly, her movements a dance of seduction that left him entranced. Her breasts were full and firm, her nipples hard with desire, and her hips curved in a way that made his mouth water. He took his time, savoring every moment as he peeled away the layers of fabric that had shielded her from his gaze. Each inch of exposed skin was a revelation, a canvas of passion waiting to be explored. As he knelt before her, his hands tracing the lines of her body, Clara's eyes searched his, seeking reassurance. He offered her a gentle smile, his eyes speaking the words his mouth could not. With trembling hands, he removed her underwear, revealing the beauty that had been hidden beneath. Her legs trembled slightly, and she stepped closer, her body brushing against his as she reached for his shirt. Their hearts raced in unison as they undressed each other, the air thick with the promise of what was to come. He stood, his own desire evident, and she took in his naked form with an appreciative gaze, her hands lingering on the muscles of his chest, the scent of their shared passion hanging heavy between them. The bed, a sprawling affair of silk and feathers, called out to them, a stage for their desires. They tumbled onto it, a tangle of limbs and passion, the guilt of his earlier transgressions momentarily forgotten in the heat of the moment. Clara's touch was like fire, consuming him, and he gave in to the inferno, eager to explore every inch of her. With a gentle yet firm voice, Clara began her lesson. "First, kiss them softly," she instructed, her breath warm against his ear as she demonstrated with feather-light pecks. "Now, suck," she said, taking his hand and guiding it to her nipple. "But not too hard," she warned, her eyes watching him intently as he followed her command. He took her advice, his lips caressing her tender flesh with the reverence of a worshipper before his goddess. The sensation was intoxicating, and she moaned with pleasure, her body arching into his touch. His teeth grazed her nipple lightly, and she gasped, her hand shooting to the back of his head to encourage him. The sound was all the confirmation he needed, and he continued, his mouth moving from one peak to the other in a rhythm that was as old as time itself. Her hand slid down his back, guiding him lower, until he found himself face to face with the most intimate part of her. He took a deep breath, inhaling her scent, a heady mix of arousal and the faint hint of her soap. "Look," she whispered, spreading her legs wider, "see how she wants you." Her pussy was a work of art, pink and swollen, glistening with need. He had never paid such close attention to a girl's sex before, always eager to claim it without fully understanding its secrets. But Clara was different, she was teaching him the art of love, and he was her eager pupil. He leaned in, his eyes tracing the delicate folds, the soft mound of her mons, the way her inner thighs met at the juncture of her hips. "Kiss her," Clara instructed, her voice a sultry purr. He obeyed, pressing his lips to her mound, feeling her quiver beneath him. He kissed her gently, exploring with his tongue, tasting the saltiness of her desire. She guided his head, showing him how to nuzzle and lick, her breath coming in gasps as he grew bolder. His tongue found her clit, a tiny pearl of pleasure that seemed to pulse with each flick. He sucked it gently, feeling her hips buck in response. Her hands tightened in his hair, her moans growing louder, urging him on. He learned her rhythm, her likes, and her dislikes, his own pleasure secondary to her satisfaction. Her legs began to shake as he worked his magic, his tongue delving into her wetness, exploring every inch of her. He felt her muscles tighten around his fingers as he pushed deeper, her body arching off the bed. He watched her face, a study of ecstasy, as he brought her closer and closer to the edge. The power he held was intoxicating, and he felt a surge of pride at his newfound skill. Finally, with a cry that echoed through the villa, Clara reached her climax, her body convulsing against his mouth. He didn't stop, riding the wave of her pleasure, savoring each spasm. When she finally collapsed against the pillows, breathless and sated, he pulled back, a sense of accomplishment filling him. She looked at him with a mix of wonder and desire, her eyes glazed over with passion. "Now, for your turn," she purred, her voice still husky from her own release. She positioned herself over him, her wetness coating his erection. He watched as she took him in hand, her slender fingers wrapping around his length, stroking him with a firmness that made him ache. He was so close, so very close to release, but she had other plans. With a wicked smile, Clara took him into her mouth, her tongue swirling around the head of his cock. He gasped, the sensation unlike anything he had ever felt before. Her technique was exquisite, a masterclass in pleasure. She took him deep, her cheeks hollowing out as she sucked, only to pull back and tease the tip with the lightest of kisses. Each stroke brought him closer to the precipice, but she was a skilled conductor of this symphony, always pulling back at the last moment. His hips bucked, seeking more, his hands clutching at the sheets in frustration. Her eyes never left his as she worked him, the desire in them only fueling his own. He could feel the pressure building, the heat rising from his core until it was all he could do to hold on. She knew just how much he could take, her mouth a vice that offered both torment and salvation. Then, with a swiftness that took him by surprise, she straddled him, her wetness enveloping him as she sank down onto his shaft. The feeling was indescribable, the tightness of her grip around him almost painful in its intensity. She began to rock her hips, setting a rhythm that was agonizingly slow, her eyes never leaving his. He watched as she took control, her breasts bouncing with each movement, her expression one of pure concentration. He could feel the tension in his body coiling tighter and tighter, his muscles straining against the pleasure she was giving him. Her movements grew more deliberate, her breathing more ragged. The world narrowed down to the feeling of her body against his, the slick slide of her flesh, the warmth of her embrace. And then, as if a dam had broken, he felt the seismic explosion of his orgasm, his body jolting as he spilled himself into her welcoming warmth. The two of them lay there, panting and sweaty, the aftershocks of pleasure still rippling through their bodies. It was a moment of perfect understanding, a silent communication that needed no words. They had crossed a line together, explored a part of themselves that was new and exciting, and in doing so, they had grown closer. As they lay there, entwined in the soft embrace of the velvet sheets, Clara leaned down to whisper in his ear, "You see now, love is not just about taking, but about giving, about learning, about growing together." Her words echoed in his mind, a gentle reminder of the journey he had begun in this enchanting French villa, a journey that would forever change the way he saw love and desire. Claudia woke up on Saturday morning still in Clara's bedroom, with a strange and so delicious sensation. Open high eyes, he saw Clara licking and sucking his erection hard for the morning hard on. "This time is a strong quick release." Her eyes met his, a mischievous smile playing on her lips as she took him into her mouth, her movements swift and sure. He watched, fascinated, as she worked him with a skill that was both surprising and incredibly arousing. The sensation was unlike anything he had ever felt, a mix of pleasure and release that made his toes curl. With a groan that was more animal than human, he felt his climax building, his body tensing as she took him deeper, her tongue flicking against his sensitive spots. And then, it washed over him, a wave of pure ecstasy that left him trembling and weak. He came hard, filling her mouth, the intensity of the sensation leaving him breathless. For a moment, they stayed like that, her head still bent over him, her eyes closed in concentration as she swallowed every drop. Then, with a final, lingering kiss to the head of his cock, she pulled away, wiping her mouth with the back of her hand. "Good morning," she said with a grin, her voice filled with satisfaction. "I trust you slept well." He could only nod, his throat tight with emotion. The intimacy of the act, the raw honesty of their passion, had left him speechless. He knew that he would carry this moment with him forever, a secret shared between them that would forever change the course of his life. The weekend at the villa had just begun, and he had a feeling that it would be one he would never forget. But the sound of his mother and Jasmine's voices calling them for breakfast from downstairs brought a sudden reality check. He sat up, a mix of excitement and dread coursing through him. How would he face them after what had transpired between him and Clara? Would they know? Would they be able to tell? He glanced over at Clara, who was now stretching languidly on the bed, her naked form a vision of beauty. She caught his eye and winked, the tension in the room dissipating like mist in the morning sun. "Don't worry," she murmured, her voice a caress. "We'll keep this our little secret." With that, she climbed out of bed and began to dress, moving with an easy grace that belied the passionate night they had just shared. He followed suit, his body feeling both sated and hungry for more. As they made their way downstairs, their steps in sync, he couldn't help but steal glances at her, his mind racing with thoughts of what the weekend might hold. The awkwardness was palpable as they entered the dining room, the air thick with the scent of freshly baked bread and brewing coffee. His mother and Jasmine exchanged knowing smiles, their gazes lingering on him and Clara before they turned back to their plates. They knew, he realized with a start, and yet, they said nothing. It was as if they were giving their silent blessing, a nod to the complex dance of love and desire that was unfolding before their eyes. The meal passed in a blur of forced small talk and furtive glances, the tension between him and Clara a delicious secret that seemed to charge the very air around them. With each bite, with each sip of juice, he felt his resolve to be true to Loretta wavering, the memory of Clara's touch a siren's call that grew louder with each passing moment. The weekend stretched out before them, a canvas of unexplored possibilities. And as they sat there, in the warm embrace of the villa, he knew that he was about to embark on a journey that would challenge everything he thought he knew about love, about desire, and about himself. The rest of the weekend was a blur of passionate encounters and stolen moments, the line between love and lust blurring with each kiss, each caress. Clara was insatiable, her hunger for him as intense as the setting sun, and he found himself eagerly matching her pace, his body and soul craving more of her. They explored the villa's grounds, the salty breeze from the ocean playing with their hair as they made love in the sand dunes, the sound of the waves a constant reminder of the tumultuous sea of emotions churning within him. They were like two animals in heat, unable to keep their hands off each other, their bodies speaking a language that was as old as time itself. In the evenings, they would return to the villa, their skin sticky with salt and sweat, their hearts pounding from more than just the exertion. They would shower together, the water cascading over their entwined bodies, washing away the sand and the guilt. It was in those moments that he felt truly alive, his senses heightened, his desires laid bare. On Sunday night, as they packed their bags to return to Paris, Clara took his hand, her eyes shimmering with a mix of sadness and hope. "We don't have to tell anyone," she said, her voice a whisper. "We can keep this between us." He nodded, understanding the gravity of what she was saying, the implications of their actions. But deep down, he knew that this weekend had changed him, that he would never be the same again. He had tasted the forbidden fruit, and the sweetness of it lingered on his lips, a tantalizing promise of more to come. As they boarded the train back to Paris, the city of lights beckoning in the distance, he felt a strange mix of excitement and trepidation. What would happen next? Would he return to Loretta, his heart forever changed by Clara's embrace? Or would he find a way to balance the love he had for both of them, to navigate the complex web of desire that now defined his life? The train pulled out of the station, the countryside a blur of green and gold as they sped towards the city. He held Clara's hand tightly, their bodies close, the warmth of her skin a comfort against the cool evening air. The future was uncertain, but for now, all that mattered was the present, the feel of her beside him, and the promise of more passionate nights to come. In the bustling heart of Paris, the reality of their situation grew stark. Clara introduced him to her circle of friends, artists and poets, free spirits who embraced love in all its forms. He watched as she flirted and kissed both men and women, her laughter ringing out like a bell, a sound that both thrilled and troubled him. Yet, when they were alone, she was all his, her attention focused solely on him. He discovered that her bisexuality was not just a phase, but a deep part of her identity, a truth that she had embraced and cherished. Her love for him was real, but it did not diminish her desire for others. It was a revelation that both intrigued and challenged him. The days passed in a whirlwind of art galleries and late-night cafes, of deep conversations and even deeper kisses. He found himself drawn into Clara's world, her openness to love and sexuality a stark contrast to the more rigid boundaries of his own upbringing. But with each passing day, the weight of his secret grew heavier. He knew that he could not keep Clara all to himself, that she was a creature of the world, meant to love and be loved by many. And yet, the thought of sharing her brought a pang of jealousy that was as sharp as a knife. He was torn between his love for Lauretta and the all-consuming passion that Clara had awakened within him. The tension grew palpable, a storm brewing on the horizon of their love affair. He knew that he could not hide his feelings forever, that the truth would eventually come to light. And as they lay in bed, the scent of their lovemaking lingering in the air, he made a decision that would change the course of their relationship forever. With a tremble in his voice, he whispered his truth to Clara, his heart pounding like a drum. "I love you," he said, the words a confession and a plea. "But I am not like you. I am torn between my love for Lauretta and the passion we share." Clara's eyes searched his, a flicker of understanding crossing her features. She took his hand, her thumb tracing lazy circles on his palm. "Love is not a zero-sum game, Claudio," she said, her voice soft and soothing. "You do not have to choose. You can love us both, in your own way." Her words resonated within him, a revelation that shook the very core of his being. He had never considered the possibility of a love that could encompass more than one person, more than one heart. But as he looked into her eyes, he saw the truth of her words, the depth of her love that was as vast as the ocean. 3 days before he had to return to Turin, Clara invited him to a farewell dinner at her small student studio. The girl sharing the apartment was out on a date, leaving them alone for the night. The apartment was a reflection of Clara herself, filled with vibrant paintings and sculptures, a riot of color and sensuality. The dinner was a feast of French delicacies, the wine flowing freely as they talked and laughed, their bodies touching under the guise of passing plates and refilling glasses. The air was thick with anticipation, a silent promise of what the night would bring. As they cleared the table, Clara turned to him, her eyes gleaming with mischief. "Let's make this night one to remember," she said, her voice a seductive purr. He knew what she meant, and his body responded with an eagerness that surprised him. They moved to the bedroom, the walls lined with books and candles flickering on the dresser. She pushed him onto the bed, her hands roaming over his body as she straddled him. Her kisses were fierce, her passion unbridled. This was Clara's world, a realm where love and lust intertwined in a dance that was both beautiful and terrifying. As they made love, their bodies moving in a symphony of desire, he knew that he could never fully leave this place, never fully escape the pool of Clara's embrace. The guilt was still there, a shadow in the corner of his mind, but it was overpowered by the intensity of their connection. The night grew late, the candles burned low, casting a warm glow over their tangled limbs. They lay there, panting and exhausted, their hearts beating in time with the city outside. The silence was broken only by the distant sound of a saxophone playing a mournful tune. It was then that the door to the apartment slammed open, and the sound of high heels on the hardwood floor echoed through the hallway. The girl who shared the apartment with Clara stumbled in, her mascara streaked down her cheeks, her eyes red with tears. "Marina," Clara called out, jumping up from the bed and wrapping a rope around herself. "What's wrong?" Marina looked at them, her eyes flickering with a mix of anger and pain. "I was stood up," she sobbed, her voice thick with emotion. "He left me at the restaurant, humiliated me in front of everyone. Claude's heart went out to her, and he felt a pang of guilt for the joy he had found in Clara's arms while she suffered. But Clara was already there, her arms around her, whispering soothing words into her hair. She murmured, "It's okay. He's not worth your tears." And as he watched Clara comfort her friend, he realized that this was love, too. The love that offered support and solace, that was not jealous or possessive but open and giving. It was a love that could hold space for all the complexities of the human heart. The three of them sat there, a tableau of comfort in the candle-lit room, their hearts bound by a web of shared experiences and secrets. And as the night grew quiet once more, the only sound the distant wail of the saxophone, Claudio knew that his life had been irrevocably changed. He would return to Turin with a newfound understanding of love, of passion, and of the endless possibilities that lay before him. And though he knew that the path ahead would be fraught with challenges, he felt ready to face them, armed with the lessons Clara had taught him. When everybody was calm and relaxed again, was time to go to sleep. Marina asked if possible not be left alone during the night. Claudio offered to sleep on the sofa, but both girls insisted that Clara's bed was big enough for them all. With a shy smile, Clara took his hand and led him to the bed, their bodies curling together like vines around a trellis. Marina lay on the other side, her back to them, a silent sentinel of friendship and shared pain. And as they lay there, the three of them nestled together in the soft embrace of the bed, Claudio felt a peace that he had not known in a long time. It was a peace that whispered of a future where love was not a cage but a garden, where hearts grew wild and free. He closed his eyes, the scent of Clara's hair filling his nostrils, the warmth of her body against his, a comfort that he had not expected. And as sleep claimed him, he knew that he had made his choice, that he would find a way to love them both, to navigate the treacherous waters of his desires. As the night deepened, Clara's hand reached out from her side of the bed, her fingers brushing against his bare skin. He felt a jolt of awareness, his body responding to her touch despite his exhaustion. Slowly, gently, she began to explore him, her touch featherlight, as if she were afraid to wake him. But he was not asleep. He was aware of every stroke, every caress, his body coming alive under her ministrations. He could feel the heat of her gaze on him, could almost hear the silent question she was asking. And without a word, he turned to face her, his eyes locking with hers. In the dim light, he saw the understanding in her eyes, the acceptance of what was about to happen. She slid closer, her body pressing against his, her breath warm on his neck. And as their kisses grew deeper, more urgent, he knew that they had crossed a line, that their love had become something more than he had ever imagined. Marina, still on her side, had turned to face them, her eyes open, watching them with a look that was both knowing and hungry. He felt her hand on his thigh, her touch a silent invitation, and as Clara's hand found his cock, he knew that this was not a dream, but a reality that was both terrifying and exhilarating. The tension in the room was electric, a current that thrummed through their bodies as Clara's hand moved up to cup his face, her thumb tracing the line of his jaw. He knew that he could stop this, that he could pull away and retreat to the safety of his guilt and his love for Loretta. But instead, he leaned into the kiss, his hand finding its way to Clara's breast, her nipple hardening under his touch. The world outside the bedroom faded away, leaving only the three of them, bound together by a desire that was as old as time itself. Marina's hand grew bolder, her fingers wrapping around him, her other hand sliding down to cup Clara's ass, pulling her closer. The sensation was overwhelming, a symphony of touch that made him dizzy with lust. He could feel Clara's breath hitch in her throat as he began to move, his hips pushing against her hand, seeking more. The three of them moved together, a tangle of limbs and size, their bodies speaking a language that needed no words. It was as if they were dancing, a dance that was both choreographed and improvised, each movement a declaration of love and lust. And when the moment came, when he could hold back no longer, he let go, his body spasming with pleasure, his release a silent shout into the night. Clara's hand continued to pump him, her eyes never leaving his, her own desire a mirror of his own. As he collapsed back onto the bed, panting and spent, he felt a strange mix of emotions. Guilt, certainly, but also a sense of liberation, a feeling that he had unlocked a part of himself that had been hidden away. And as he looked into Clara's eyes, he knew that he had found not just a lover, but a guide, a woman who would lead him into the uncharted waters of his desires. They lay there, their bodies tangled together, the only sound their ragged breathing. And in that moment, Claudio understood that love was not a simple thing, not a binary choice between two people. It was a force that could encompass the entire world, a force that could break hearts and mend them, all at the same time. The night grew quiet once more, the candles casting long shadows on the wall. And as they drifted off to sleep, their limbs still entwined, he knew that he had taken a step into a world where love knew no boundaries, a world where the only rules were those of the heart. In the morning, they awoke to the sound of the city, the distant rumble of traffic and the chatter of birds outside the window. Clara was the first to stir, her eyes opening to find him staring at her, a look of wonder on his face. Marina lay on her stomach, her head buried in the pillow, one arm flung over Clara's waist. She looked so peaceful, so content, that he couldn't help but feel a pang of something that was almost like love for her, too. They showered together, the warm water washing away the remnants of their night of passion. They didn't speak, but their eyes communicated volumes, the unspoken promise of secrets kept and a bond forged. As they dressed, Clara turned to him, her gaze serious. "This changes nothing," she said, her voice firm. "Our love is still ours. But we must be careful, for the sake of everyone involved." He nodded, understanding the gravity of her words. The world was not ready for their kind of love, not yet. But in the sanctity of Clara's arms, he felt that anything was possible, that love could conquer all. They said their goodbyes, Clara promising to visit him in Turin, her hand lingering on his for just a moment longer than necessary. And as he stepped out into the Parisian street, the sun rising in a blaze of gold, he knew that he would never forget the summer of 68, the summer that had changed his life forever. The train ride back to Turin was a blur of introspection and anticipation. He couldn't wait to see Lauretta, to hold her in his arms, to tell her everything. But he knew that the words would not come easily, that confession was a double-edged sword. He replayed the weekend's events in his mind, the taste of Clara's kisses, the feel of her body against his. And yet, there was still a place in his heart for Lauretta, a sweetness that was as pure as the driven snow. As the countryside rolled by outside the window, he knew that he had to find a way to reconcile his love for both women, to find a balance that would not leave anyone feeling slighted or forgotten. When he arrived at the station, Loretta was waiting for him, her eyes shining with excitement. He felt a twinge of guilt as he kissed her, her innocence a stark contrast to the woman he had become in Paris. But he pushed the thoughts aside, focusing instead on the present, the warmth of her embrace, the love in her eyes. For now, he would keep his secrets, bury them deep within his heart. And he would cherish every moment with her, every kiss, every touch. Yet, the shadow of Clara lingered, a phantom that whispered sweet nothings in his ear, a siren's call that grew louder with every beat of his heart. He knew that he could not ignore her forever, that the truth would eventually come out. But for now, he would hold on to the illusion of normalcy, of a love that was as simple as a nursery rhyme. And when the time came to choose, he would face it with the courage that Clara had taught him. The days passed in a blur of classes and stolen moments with Loretta, their love a balm to his soul. Yet, the nights were filled with restless dreams of Clara, her body arching in ecstasy under his touch. He wrote her letters, long and passionate, telling her of his love for her, his dreams of a future where they could be together without guilt or fear. And though he knew it was a fool's errand, he couldn't help but hope. And so, the summer drew to a close, the leaves turning to gold and the air growing crisp. And as the days grew shorter, so too did the time he had to decide, to choose between the love of his past and the love of his present. In the quiet moments, when Loretta was not with him, he found himself wondering what Clara was doing, who she was with. And though he knew he had no right to feel jealous, the emotion burned in his chest like a brand. The night before he had to leave for Paris once more, Loretta lay in his arms, her breathing slow and steady. He knew that he had to tell her, to lay bare his soul and hope for her understanding. He took a deep breath and began to speak, his voice trembling with emotion. "There's something I need to tell you," he said, his heart racing. "Something that happened in Paris." Her eyes searched his, filled with trust and love. And as he spoke the words that would either destroy them or set them free, he prayed to a God he wasn't sure he believed in that she would not pull away, that she would understand. "I met someone," he confessed, his voice barely above a whisper. "Her name is Clara. And she taught me things about love, about passion, that I never knew." Loretta's face remained calm, a mask of serenity that belied the storm he knew was brewing within her. She waited for him to continue, her hand resting gently on his chest. "It was just one weekend," he rushed to say, "but it changed me. I love you, Loretta, more than anything. But I can't deny what I feel for her, either." The silence stretched between them, a yawning chasm that seemed to swallow the very air. And then, she spoke, her voice soft but firm. "Tell me everything," she said. "I need to know." And so, he did. He told her of the stolen kisses, the passionate embraces, the nights spent in Clara's arms. He held nothing back, laying bare his soul for her to see. When he was done, she was quiet for a long moment, her eyes searching his. Then she took his hand, her grip tight, her voice steady. "We will get through this," she said. "Together." The weight of his confession lifted from his chest, he felt a newfound sense of hope. Perhaps love was not a zero-sum game, perhaps it could grow and change, encompassing more than just two hearts. The night was warm, the air heavy with the scent of jasmine. Loretta lay on the bed, her eyes closed, her body open to him. He approached her with a newfound reverence, his hands trembling with anticipation. "I'm ready," she whispered, her voice barely audible. "Show me what you've learned. But please, be slow and very gentle." Her words filled him with a tenderness that was almost painful, a love that was as vast as the ocean. He knew that he had to be worthy of her trust, that this moment was more than just about pleasure, it was about connection, about growth. He began with soft kisses, exploring her body with the same care and attention that Clara had taught him. Each touch was a promise, each caress a declaration of love. As she grew more aroused, her breath hitching in her throat, he focused on her clit, using the techniques Clara had shown him. He watched her face, her eyes fluttering open to meet his, a silent plea for more. Her legs spread wider, her hips rising to meet his touch. He could feel her body tightening around him, her muscles clenching in anticipation. And as he watched her, as he felt her climb closer and closer to the peak of pleasure, he knew that he had made the right choice. The room was filled with the sounds of their lovemaking, the slick of skin on skin, the soft cries that she could not hold back. And as she came, her body arching off the bed, her nails digging into his back, he felt a sense of triumph, of power that was unlike anything he had ever known. But it was not a power over her, it was a power with her, a shared moment of ecstasy that bound them closer than any words could ever do. And as she collapsed against him, her breathing ragged, he knew that their love had been transformed. Again she murmured, her voice a siren's call. "I want more, I need more." He took her breasts in his hands, his thumbs brushing over her nipples, watching as they pebbled beneath his touch. He kissed her neck, her collarbone, his teeth grazing her skin, leaving a trail of fire. Her back arched, her breasts pushing up into his hands, her body begging for more. He took one into his mouth, suckling gently at first, then harder, as she gasped and writhed beneath him. He slid his hand down, his fingers finding her wetness, her heat. He marveled at the way her body responded to him, how she opened up like a flower under his touch. Her hand reached down, her fingers intertwining with his, guiding him to her core. And as he began to move his fingers inside her, feeling her still intact hymen, her eyes locked on his, he knew that this was where he belonged. With a gentle rhythm, he stroked her, her breath hitching with every touch. He watched her face, the way her eyes fluttered closed, the way her cheeks flushed. He felt her tension building, her body coiling like a spring. And then she was there, her back arching off the bed, her orgasm ripping through her like a storm. She cried out his name, her nails digging into the bed sheets, her whole body trembling with the force of it. He waited, giving her time to come down from the high, watching the aftershocks of pleasure ripple through her body. And when she was finally still, her breathing even, he leaned down to kiss her, tasting the salt of her sweat on her lips. "Thank you," she murmured, her eyes still closed. "Thank you for making me feel so alive." He whispered words of love against her neck, his hand still moving within her, feeling her body's response. And as she grew wetter, more receptive, he knew that the moment was right. Slowly, so slowly, he positioned himself, his cock nudging at her entrance. She was tight, so tight, and he knew that this would hurt her. But she was with him, her eyes open, her hand squeezing his. With one final, gentle push, he broke through her barrier, feeling her body clench around him. She gasped, her eyes wide with pain, but she didn't pull away. Instead, she wrapped her legs around his waist, her heels digging into his back. He held still, giving her time to adjust, to get used to the feeling of him inside her. And then, when she nodded, when she whispered, "Okay," he began to move. Their bodies danced together, a slow and intimate tango that grew more frantic with every stroke. He watched her face, reading her every emotion, her every gasp. And when he felt her tightening around him again, he knew she was close. With one final thrust, he sent her over the edge, her orgasm crashing over her like a wave. And as she convulsed around him, he let go, his own climax a release of all the tension that had been building within him. They lay there, their bodies slick with sweat, their hearts hammering. And in that moment, as the world outside faded away, he knew that their love had been sealed, not just with a promise, but with a physical bond that could never be broken. The days that followed were a whirlwind of classes and stolen moments together, their love a secret that seemed to set them apart from everyone else. And as the time for him to leave grew closer, so too did the inevitable question of what would happen next. Could they really keep this a secret? Could he truly have both Clara and Loretta in his life, without hurting either of them? Or was he just a boy caught in a fantasy, destined to lose everything that truly mattered? The night before his departure, Loretta lay in his arms, her head on his chest, her breathing steady and even. He stared up at the ceiling, his thoughts racing, his heart heavy with the weight of his decisions. He knew that he had to tell Clara, that she had a right to know what was happening. But the thought of losing her, of her anger and disappointment, was almost too much to bear. With a sigh, he kissed the top of Loretta's head, her hair soft against his lips. He would find a way, he vowed to himself. He would find a way to make this work, to keep them all together. For now, though, he would hold on to this moment, this perfect slice of time where everything was right in the world, where love was not a choice but a given. And he would carry it with him, like a talisman, as he stepped back onto that train, ready to face whatever the future held. This time, the travel to Paris was a stark contrast to the tumultuous journey of self-discovery he'd experienced before. The train ride was uneventful, a long, boring sequence of hours that Claudio filled with intermittent snoozing and half-hearted attempts to concentrate on his book. The thrill of the unknown had been replaced by the comforting familiarity of his own thoughts, the pages of his novel a welcome escape from the tangled web of his emotions. The countryside passed by in a blur of green and gold, the gentle sway of the train lulling him into a fitful slumber. He'd read the same sentence over and over again, his mind wandering back to Clara and Loretta, the two women whose love had transformed his understanding of the world. He'd spent weeks agonizing over his confession to Loretta, expecting a storm of anger and betrayal. Instead, she'd met his revelation with a calmness that both surprised and humbled him. Her willingness to explore, to grow with him, had left him feeling hopeful, but also burdened with the responsibility of navigating this uncharted territory. The clacker-to-clack of the train's wheels against the tracks became a soothing lullaby, and he found himself drifting into a light doze, the steady rhythm a metronome for his racing thoughts. Would Clara understand his newfound commitment to Loretta? Could their love withstand the distance and the knowledge that he was no longer exclusively hers? As the train pulled into the station, Claudio felt the weight of his decisions pressing down on him. He stepped out into the cool Parisian air, the scent of fresh bread and diesel fuel a stark reminder that he was far from the quiet solace of Turin. The city beckoned him with its vibrant life, its streets whispering of passion and secrets. But he had a mission now, a promise to keep. He would find Clara, tell her everything, and hope that she could see the depth of his love for both of them. The journey ahead was fraught with challenges, but he was ready to face them, to fight for the love he knew was worth fighting for. The cobblestone streets of Paris held a new allure, a seductive dance of possibility that both thrilled and terrified him. He knew that the path before him was not an easy one, but he also knew that he was no longer the naive boy who had first stepped off this very train, eyes wide with wonder and heart unblemished by love's complexities. He made his way through the city, the map of Clara's studio etched into his mind. The anticipation grew with every step, his heart thudding in his chest like a bass drum. How would she react? Would she understand, or would she cast him out, their weekend of passion reduced to a mere summer fling? As he climbed the stairs to her apartment, he rehearsed his speech, the words a tapestry of love, hope, and regret. He paused outside her door, hand trembling as he raised it to knock. The future felt both terrifying and exhilarating, a canvas of potential that stretched out before him, filled with colors he had never before dared to dream of. He took a deep breath, steeling himself for whatever lay ahead. Whether Clara accepted his love or not, whether he could find a way to keep both women in his life, he knew that he had grown, that he was no longer the same person who had left Turin. The knock echoed through the hallway, a declaration of intent that seemed to resonate through his very soul. The door swung open, and there she was, the woman who had changed his world, her eyes searching his, her smile tentative. Claudio, she said, her voice a warm caress that sent a shiver down his spine. What brings you here? He stepped into the apartment, the scent of her perfume mingling with the faint aroma of fresh paint and turpentine. The studio was as he remembered it, filled with light and life, a testament to Clara's vibrant spirit. He took her hand, his voice steady as he spoke the words that would either mend the fissures in his heart or shatter it into a million unrecoverable pieces. Clara, he began, his voice thick with emotion, I need to talk to you. I know I can't just come in here and expect you to drop everything, but I had to see you before you leave. Her eyes searched his, a hint of curiosity in their depths. What is it? She asked, her grip on his hand tightening. He took a deep breath, the words tumbling from his mouth in a rush. I went to Turin and had the most amazing week with Loretta, he confessed, watching her face for any sign of anger or hurt. But I can't help thinking about you, about us. I love you, Clara, more than I ever thought possible. Her expression remained unreadable, her eyes unblinking. What are you saying? She asked, her voice deceptively calm. He took her hand in his thumb tracing circles on her palm. I want you to know that no matter what happens, you'll always have a piece of me, he said, his voice cracking. And I want to give you something to remember me by. He reached into his pocket, pulling out a small, velvet box. With trembling hands, he opened it to reveal a delicate gold necklace with a heart-shaped locket. Inside, a tiny photograph of the two of them, taken during their last weekend together, stared back at him, a reminder of the love they had shared. Her eyes widened, her hand flying to her mouth. It's beautiful, she whispered, tears glistening in her eyes. He leaned in, pressing his forehead to hers. Whenever you look at it, remember that I'm thinking of you, he said, his voice barely audible. And that no matter where we are, we'll always be connected. The silence stretched between them, the tension palpable. And then, she kissed him, a soft, lingering kiss that spoke of a love that knew no bounds. Thank you, she murmured against his lips. I'll cherish it always. Their bodies seemed to melt into one another, the kiss deepening as they sought solace in the warmth of their embrace. The room spun around them, the outside world forgotten. For that brief moment, there was only Clara and Loretta, their love a tangible force that transcended the confines of time and space. As they pulled apart, Clara's eyes searched his, a silent question lingering in their depths. I understand, she said finally, her voice a whisper. But you must promise me one thing. Anything, he breathed, his heart in his throat. Whenever you're with her, she said, her voice firm, don't think of me. Give yourself fully to her, as you gave yourself to me. That's the only way we can all find happiness. The weight of her words settled heavily on his shoulders, but he nodded, understanding the gravity of her request. He knew that he could not straddle two worlds, that he had to be true to both Clara and Loretta. They stood there, lost in the quiet, the ticking of the clock on the wall a stark reminder of the time that was slipping through their fingers. And as the sun began to set, painting the studio in a soft, golden light, they both knew that their time together was drawing to a close. Clara pulled away, her eyes shining with unshed tears. I have to finish packing, she said, her voice thick. My flight leaves early tomorrow morning. He nodded, his own eyes filling with tears. I'll come back for dinner, he said, his voice raw. We'll have the night together, just like old times. Her smile was sad, but filled with a warmth that made his heart ache. I'd like that, she said, her voice barely above a whisper. 8:30 sharp. Don't be late. With one final, lingering kiss, they parted ways, the promise of the evening to come a beacon of hope in the storm of uncertainty that lay ahead. As the door clicked shut behind him, Claudio took a deep breath, steeling himself for the night that would either mend his heart or break it irrevocably. He had no idea what the future held, but he knew that he would face it with the courage and love that Clara had taught him. And as he descended the stairs, the chill of the evening air wrapping around him like a lover's embrace, he felt ready for whatever lay ahead. Clara retreated to the safety of her canvas and paint, needing the solace of her art to process the tumult of emotions that Claudio's visit had stirred within her. The colors blurred together as she worked, a chaotic dance of passion and pain, love and loss. The hours ticked by, the shadows grew long, and the studio grew quiet. Only the occasional clink of a glass and the soft swish of a paintbrush on canvas filled the space, a poignant reminder of the impending goodbye that hung heavy in the air. As the clock chimed 8:30, Clara set aside her brush and took a deep breath, steeling herself for the evening ahead. She had made her decision. She would not let the weight of the past or the fear of the future taint the precious time she had left with the man she loved. The door opened and Claudio stepped in, looking more handsome than she remembered, his eyes filled with a fierce love that made her heart ache. She offered him a shaky smile, and the air between them crackled with a tension that was both electrifying and heart-wrenching. The dinner was a delicate dance of words and glances, their conversation a tapestry of shared memories and quiet confessions. The meal was simple, a poetic reflection of their complex relationship: a plate of spaghetti al pomodoro, a bottle of Chianti, and two souls intertwined by love and fate. The night stretched before them, a canvas of possibility that seemed to expand with every shared laugh, every whispered secret. And as the moon climbed high in the sky, they retreated to the comfort of Clara's bed, their bodies entwined in a silent promise of what was to come. Their lovemaking was a testament to their growth, a symphony of pleasure that was as much about giving as it was about receiving. Clara taught him to read her body, to listen to her every sigh and moan, to find the perfect rhythm that would send her soaring. And as the early morning light began to seep through the cracks in the shutters, they lay there, their hearts beating in sync, their breath mingling in the stillness. The world outside could wait, for now. All that mattered was the warmth of each other's embrace and the love that bound them together. With the first light of dawn, Clara gently extricated herself from Claudio's arms, her eyes filled with a determination that spoke louder than words. She had to go, to leave this place and the man she loved behind. But she knew that she would carry him with her. A secret flame that would burn in her heart forever. Dressing quickly, she packed the last of her things, her movements efficient yet laced with a profound sadness. As she turned to face him, she knew that she had to be strong, for both their sakes. "Thank you," she whispered, her voice hoarse with unshed tears. "Thank you for this beautiful night." He watched her, his eyes filled with a love that was as vast as the horizon. He knew that this was goodbye, but he also knew that their love story was far from over. "I'll be here," he said, his voice strong. "Whenever you need me, I'll be here." They shared one last, desperate kiss, the taste of each other a bittersweet reminder of the love they had found and the life they were leaving behind. And as Clara disappeared into the early morning light, her luggage in hand, Claudio felt a piece of his soul go with her. The apartment was eerily quiet, the echoes of their love haunting the empty spaces. He dressed slowly, his movements leaden, each article of clothing a silent acknowledgement of the reality that had set in. He had a choice to make, a path to forge, and it was one that would shape the rest of his life. As the sun rose, casting a soft glow over the city of lovers, Claudio made a silent vow. He would honor Clara's wish, he would cherish Loretta with all that he had learned, and he would strive to be the man they both deserved. For love was not a possession, but a journey, a series of moments that, when woven together, formed the tapestry of a life well lived.